Hello and welcome to our service today as we continue to think about the difference that it makes to us that Jesus rose from the dead. Sometimes in the busyness and stress of life, and particularly at this present time, we find it hard to see or to recognize Jesus in our midst. And today we're going to be thinking about a few possible reasons for this. Our first hymn today is a hymn that prays that we might be able to see God in all the different circumstances of life and in all the different things that we do. We're going to join together in the hymn, "Teach Me, My God and King." Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 13. And in our reading, we hear of Jesus appearing to two of his disciples as they walked to the village of Emmaus. It's a truly life-changing walk for them, as we will hear. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to say that I really love these accounts in the Gospels of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And I know that today's Gospel reading will be a familiar story to many people, as Jesus appears to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. But there are two little verses in the early part of our reading today that have been intriguing me as I've been thinking about them throughout these past days. And here are the verses that I'm really interested in, verses 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 24. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, I'd like you to bear in mind that Jesus had spent the last 3 years of his life with these two men walking along with him. They had traveled the length and breadth of Palestine together, preaching, teaching, and healing, and sharing a life together in community. And they were kept from recognizing him. It really got me thinking about myself and the church and asking a few questions. Most of us who are listening to the service today would profess to being on a spiritual journey with Jesus, a journey that perhaps began at our baptism, a journey that has maybe had a few wobbles along the way, where maybe we lost interest in our faith for a time, or perhaps we even lost our faith altogether through an experience of suffering. But yet we find ourselves tuning into this service today. And at a time of global crisis, we're conscious that some who have been disconnected from church for a long time are now listening to services online or searching for answers in a way that they never did before, when things seemed somehow more manageable day to day than they do for many of us at the present time. And what really intrigues me about these couple of little verses is that even those who loved Jesus the most and who knew him the best were kept from recognizing him. And so I wonder today, is it possible that the same thing could happen to me or to you, that we might be kept from recognizing Jesus? I want to suggest a few things that might prevent us from recognizing him. Sometimes busyness and preoccupation with other things prevent us from recognizing Jesus. And the challenging thing is that often these things are in themselves really good things. We can even be working or volunteering for the church, preparing talks, visiting the sick, organizing lots of groups and meetings. But the thing is, in the midst of the busyness, we forget who it is that we're doing them for. Or we might be doing all in our power to provide for and to look after our family. But in the busyness of all that we're doing, as we maybe work all the hours that God sends, as we try to create better opportunities for them than maybe we had ourselves, we can lose sight of that spiritual part of our lives and give Jesus no attention at all. One of the biggest battles in our society that is materially rich but time poor is to actually spend time with the Lord. I notice that I myself can make time to check my emails or to phone people to make arrangements. But am I disciplined enough to spend time with him every day in reading his word and in prayer? There always seems to be something more pressing and important or attractive to do. And it can eventually reach the point where, just like those first disciples, we no longer recognize him, as he has become so removed from our lives that he's like a complete stranger. A second factor that can cloud our recognition of Jesus is our expectations. We hear these two disciples in this conversation they had speaking about how they had hoped Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. They had hoped he was the one the people would see as a liberator from their Roman oppressors. And they were expecting this mighty, powerful figure who would really show the Romans who was boss, not a man who would be beaten, nailed to a cross, and die in front of their eyes. And maybe we also expect certain things of Jesus. We maybe expect him to heal all those we pray for. We expect him to reveal himself in power, to shake up those who mock his name and cause misery and suffering in the world. And when our expectations are such, we then really struggle with the idea that Jesus comes among us in the weak and the vulnerable, in the broken and the rather objectionable people in our society. And we struggle even more with the idea that in our own weakness and vulnerability, Jesus is found there. And so we often find ourselves looking in other places for him to no avail, until we get so disillusioned that we give up the search as a bad job, when often he has been so much closer to us than we might ever think. The last thing that I'd like to suggest that prevents us from recognizing Jesus, and we were thinking about this in more detail last week, is fear. And if you want to check out our services online, you can find them on www.sinfinians.org, and you can listen over the past number of Sundays if you've missed some. But if Jesus really is who he says he is, and I start to take him seriously in my life, is it going to mean a whole lot of change in how I approach things? Because there is nothing actually more frightening in my ordered little world than change. And in this time of recent crisis, we have had to start to learn and to do church in a very different way. Recording services on the internet, writing blogs to stay in touch with our people, asking the congregation to support one another pastorally through phoning and praying for each other, they're not necessarily the way that we are used to doing things in our particular denomination or tradition. And when for much of our lives, many of us have traditionally experienced church ministry as something of a one-man band type of operation, it's quite a frightening thing to look at other models. And yet the really beautiful and encouraging thing for me about the last number of weeks is that there is so much care and compassion, there's so much practical skills among us as a community of people within the church, even when we think about it for a little time. And it's beautiful to see the way people have embraced those gifts and used them in the service of others and in supporting others. Who would have thought that the real giants of our current crisis are those who have the technical expertise to actually edit and do their magic with our recordings, or who can post our ramblings on the internet, or who can provide wonderful resources for us on the church's Facebook page. All of this technical expertise is so important and has been done with a real servant-heartedness that really inspires and blesses me. So in conclusion, what I want to ask is, if we did make that time and spend our time consciously with Jesus, perhaps, like those first disciples, our eyes too might be opened to who he is and to what he has done for us. Only this past week, I've been taking part in an alpha course on the video app Zoom. And the alpha course is a course that helps people to look afresh at the claims of Christianity. And there is one starting through our diocese, and the details are on the church's website and Facebook page. And if you've never done one before, I'd really strongly recommend it. But in the course that I've been doing over these past few weeks, last week we were looking at the important question, who is Jesus? And as we spend time with him, as we discover who he was and what he was about, the important question that emerges from that is what might be the best way for us to respond to him as we maybe get that fresh revelation of who he is and what he might want from our lives. Certainly, as we think about this encounter today, those first disciples were totally transformed by their encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for the incredible journey that you took those first disciples on as they traveled with you to Emmaus. Thank you for opening their eyes and their hearts to your presence in a new way, as you shared the word of God and broke the bread of heaven with them. We ask you to open our hearts and minds afresh, as individuals and as a church community, to see you for who you are, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who died and rose again to take away the sins of the world. And we pray that we might see you in all your glory, and that we would go on to live for you and to share you with others in lives that are grateful and filled with an attitude of love and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we continue to pray for all affected by coronavirus around the world, we pray today for all who live and work in nursing homes. We pray for the availability of protective clothing and masks for all who are caring for elderly and vulnerable people. We pray especially for all who are currently separated and distanced from their families and loved ones because of the present lockdown. We pray too for the availability of testing, and we give thanks for the courage and faithfulness of those who are serving in a very stressful environment at the present time. And we pray for their safety and for their protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray also today for any known to us who are ill with the virus at home or in hospital. We pray for all who have to self-isolate and all who at the same time are trying to run businesses or work from home. And so we pray for all who are under huge pressure in the business community with all the uncertainty of these days. Help them to make wise and compassionate decisions as they try to support customers and staff. And we pray for those who are far from family and friends and journeying through sickness or isolation on their own. We ask, Lord, that your presence would be very real to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we want to pray for those who have been bereaved. We pray today for Dorothy Miller, on the death of her sister Iris during this past week. And we pray for all families having to say farewell to loved ones in the current restricted circumstances. We ask that your comfort and support would uphold them in their sad loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join all our prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray, as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now, wherever you are, whether you're sitting or kneeling, I'm going to invite you, please, just to bow your head for God's blessing as we prepare for the week that is to come. So as we commit you to God's gracious mercy and protection, may God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our worship today. And our closing hymn is a hymn from the Taizé community in France. It's an invitation to slow down and to repeat a phrase in Latin as we think about the challenge of recognizing God. The words of the song are Ubi caritas et amor, Deus ibi est. And it's translated, wherever charity and love are found, God himself is there. Ubi caritas.